it brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when your head is much lighter.
Hey, John.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. I'm having a little bit of trouble with something that needs to happen. Just give me a minute. It's slow as molasses. Hey. It's going to take a second to... I don't know what the problem is here. But we have to wait it out till it comes up. Sometimes this happens with this website. I don't know what's going on, but I need this to run what we're doing. There we go. I think that's right. Yeah. All right, we're good now. How you feeling?
Feel good.
Feel good? That's good.
Good enough to do a show.
Yeah, well. Okay, that's all done. Take a little swig of the brandy before we get going. Okay, sir, is everything on your side copacetic and ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay, let me make sure all my numbers are good here. One more thing. This is 66. Huh. Okay. Excuse me. All right.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a margarita or a taco or burrito?
No, I didn't have anything.
Nothing?
No.
Why is that? You don't celebrate?
Not Mexican.
Who said? Wait, hold on a second. Do you sometimes have...
A Mexican holiday? A famous Mexican holiday? I think it's a failed revolution.
What about, like, for example, do you have corned beef and cabbage on St. Patty's Day?
I would assume I did once in a while. But
would you have it? Would you have it?
Sure.
But you're not. Are you not Irish? Are you?
If somebody wants to send me a burrito, I'm in.
I had today for lunch. I was driving my car on the way back to the office, and it was about 11:40. And out of the corner of my eye, you know what I saw?
A burrito.
No, I saw a place that said Hollywood Harry's. No, excuse me, Hollywood. What was his name? Hollywood Mike. Hollywood Mike's. Hollywood Mike's. Montreal smoked meat.
Smoked what?
Smoked meat. Have you never you've never had Canadian smoked meat?
Canadian smoked meat?
Yeah, Montreal style. It's corned beef, basically in between corned beef and pastrami.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I've had it before. It's kind of I've always found a little bit
never
more
heard of it actually. To be honest,
if corned beef and pastrami had a baby towards the corned beef side, this would be it. So it's a little bit of coriander on the outside, pepper, all those spices, but yet not as intense as a pastrami. Lean, more like the flat of a corned beef, and very tender. So I said, okay, I'm stopping. I'll bring back a couple sandwiches to the office. We'll see what we got here. Disappointing. It tasted like somebody could have taken a package of boar's head corned beef, sliced thin, put it in a steamer, and thrown it on my sandwich.
Oh, well, that sounds terrible.
All for $21 per sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that wasn't even a lot of meat. It was half a pound, which means, by the way, that for a pound of meat would be about $40.
Seems high.
Of course it is. Let's get going with what's going on here. We have a lot of... items to discuss, like earnings season, another blowout. It's kind of fascinating how the investment sentiment changes so quickly. Everybody was down in the dumps for a while. Now they're just like, okay, that's over. Let's get going. What else can go wrong? We're not going to be nuked. What else can go wrong? We're not going to die of COVID. What else can go wrong? The financial crisis, that didn't hurt either. And in the end, anything is a problem, they'll come in and rescue us. And that starts the ball rolling and everybody's all happy-pappy. And now earnings season is coming in pretty strong, especially with all of the major technology companies showing pretty incredible growth. Why? Well, The hyperscalers are throwing quadrillions of dollars at them. They're buying up every kind of chip, whether it works or not. Listen, tonight there was an announcement that one of the companies is going to be buying potato chips. They just want to get they want to get it in the factory.
Any sort of chip.
Any kind of chip you can. Doritos, whatever. Oh, by the way, speaking of chips, I have another food story. You want me to tell you now or wait?
No, no. These are fascinating. Well, the Montreal one wasn't that fascinating.
On a Sunday night, the family wants to go to dinner. Yeah, nobody can decide. Somebody says, you know, I heard about this place called Bangkok Hoo Ha, whatever. This Thai restaurant from this person is supposed to be great. I'm like, that is not a really reliable source, that person. All right. I'm not going to argue. We'll go. We get there. There's literally one car in the parking lot. There's a table of four. The place is open from 5 to 8 on Sunday nights. That's it. We go in. It looks like the place has been there since the 1980s. Do you know why? It's been there since 1989. Which is a good sign that people are obviously...
Yeah, the place has been there. That means they're doing. They're surviving unless it's a money laundering operation.
All I got to tell you is the soup tasted like dishwater, literally like dishwater. And when it came to the part of them bringing the snack to the table for you to enjoy between the soup and the dinner, it was literally, I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up, it was literally round tortilla chips like you get in a bag with a peanut dipping sauce.
Wow.
And the rest of the meal was just as horrifying. I protested, I did not eat. It was so bad, I couldn't eat.
You just sat there with...
I played with my food.
Arms crossed?
No, not arms crossed. I played with my food. I mushed it around the plate. There was like a little vegetable. I'd eat the vegetable off the plate or something like that, but I wouldn't eat the rest of it. It was gross. I tasted the soup and I just put it on the side. Wouldn't eat it. Naturally, wow. I paid for everybody though.
Now, whose idea was this?
Someone who, if it was my wife, I wouldn't say it was her. It was her. And she decided to go, but we all laughed it off in the end. The whole family.
Why, by not paying the check?
Well, we said that what was interesting about this night, more so than any other Sunday night, is that there was not any intra-family arguments going on because the whole time all we were doing was bashing the food.
Wow. Well, that's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah. So everybody was pretty happy about that. That one part, I guess. So you know what? Here's a lesson. For all of you people that can't get along, go to a really crappy restaurant. And have at it. Have the best time of your life with your family. Anyway, wow. Earnings season, like I said, still going strong. We have some announcement from AMD that hit the wires tonight and all the things that are going on there. Pretty crazy. Semi-annual earnings reports. This idea that instead of having quarterly earnings reports, we're going to do semi-annual earnings reports. That's something that's been gaining steam. In fact, the SEC today came out with a recommendation they would like to move ahead with this. It's optional, by the way. You don't have to report. You don't have to report on
quarterly.
You don't have to report semi-annual. You can do quarterly if you want. And we're sad goodbye in our hearts. Like to just wish everybody involved. We knew and we loved them. Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, we're going to miss the videos.
Oh, gone.
The priceless videos. Now all we have is Carnival Cruise.
Who are people going to shoot at?
Yeah, I know. Huge disappointment.
Man, we have breaking news on eggs. Yes, that goes together pretty well. In the markets, here's something really interesting
it's
that I think...
It's a pun.
Yeah, it is. Here's something I think we're going to... I think... I don't want to spoil it because we're going to talk about this, but I think you're going to probably agree with me on this. I think you will. About the potential for markets not only riding... the wave of earnings and the potential for war stoppage and all that good stuff. But how about riding the wave of tariff refunds? Something we touched upon last week.
Yeah, we did.
I think there's something to this. Something to this. Yesterday we saw oil shoot up, then slip back after Iran tensions rise and fall. drone attacks on the UAE. UAE is out of the OPEC. There's all sorts of, I mean, this is a week chock full of really interesting news bits. None of it matters to the markets for more than 5 minutes, by the way. This is the ADD of markets if you ever saw them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
NASDAQ, S&P, new highs. Huge CapEx. And we also have the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that is probably also helping us. So we got the issue of tariff refunds. We have oil coming down, still over $100. Actually, let's do a quick check. It shot down from, it shot up, I should say. It shot up this week for a WTI crude to over like 10, let's see what it was. It was 108, 109 at one point. Now currently trading at about 101.
100.91 as we speak.
Yep. So kind of interesting. We also have to come up with, before we get into the rest of the stuff, we have to get into, we need a new close to the pin.
Yeah, I see your suggestion there. I have another one.
Okay.
Salesforce.
CRM. CRM. Salesforce. We can do that. Mover. Okay, Salesforce. So we're going to put this on. Everybody can follow the Twitter feeds of either myself, Andrew Horowitz, that's one line, or X feeds, or John Dvorak, which is The Real Dvorak. And we will have...
Every time we mention it, I lose 100 people.
Yeah, so I won't mention at The Real Dvorak again.
It's actually quite funny.
It's hysterical. Whatever happened. Twitter used to be great. Not so much anymore.
There's a limiter on me. I know it for a fact.
They could do such a thing.
It goes to 100.7, then it goes to 100.6, then it goes up a little bit, and then it goes back down. It's just stuck there.
Hmm.
It's not possible.
Well, maybe. Let's get the army. Let's get the army.
Elon Musk and complain.
Oh, yeah. That'll do you well. I'll tell you, his Grok does something that other chatbots, you know, AI chatbots doesn't do. His keeps on coming up with, oh, Grok is overloaded. If you want, you can buy, you know, the what is it?
I have not seen this. I use Grok all the time.
No, Grok is overloaded right now. I get that all the time. If you want.
I see you as a sucker.
Yeah, it's like put another quarter in. So they want you to buy the upgraded version and you can have unlimited. I'm thinking, let me get this straight. If Grok is overloaded, how is my buying into it going to be better?
Have no idea.
Is it on a different system? Is it on a different server?
I don't know.
All right, let's talk about what's going on here. The ships are a sailing. Seems that the just until this evening, Operation Freedom. Don't forget, Operation Epic Fury is over. It's done. They reached their objective. They reached the objective. Which was what, by the way?
No nukes.
No nukes. So they know that to be the fact that Iran has agreed to this, and we've destroyed all of the nuclear ambitions and all of the nuclear potential for them putting it together. So, good, we're done.
No.
What do you mean, no?
They haven't done any of that, but it's beside the fact.
Okay, so Operation Epic Fury is over because we want it to be over.
No, because the 60 days are up.
Yeah, so there you go. So the 60 days are up. But, and by the way, explain that for people that don't really understand that.
Well, there's a War Powers Act that was implemented in the 70s that allow a president to go off and do what he wants or create some of these mini wars. But within 60 days, Congress can put the halt, the kibosh on it.
So
yeah,
right,
60 days to wrap it up.
So exactly 60 days was when they said Operation Epic Fury is over.
Yeah, so he said he wrapped it up.
Wrapped it
up. Which is, you know, you can just say you wrapped it up. You don't have to wrap it up.
Right. So now we are into Operation Freedom. We have to, everything has to have a name. Operation Freedom. Operation Freedom is his whole idea. We're going to get the 20,000 stranded sailors and the 1,200 boats and vessels and things, and we're going to move the thing through the Straits of Hormuz, and we got a few boats. The Maersk boat actually came through, and we got this other one that came through. And now, by the way, Operation Freedom's on pause. Did you know that?
Well, no, I didn't, actually.
It's on pause because we're so close to a deal that we're going to pause this and stop helping ships through to see if they agree to the deal or not.
Yeah, okay.
Did you get all that?
Yeah.
Okay. Nonsense, but okay. Oil down a little bit on the news, but I don't know. Kind of some crazy things going on. What to believe is the question, isn't it?
Yeah. We're getting the information sucks. It's bad. It's mediocre.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some things that are happening in the markets. Really fascinating discussion about what's going on with Amazon. U.S. transportation stocks plunged yesterday after Amazon announced expanded logistics offerings that will turn it into a major competitor for parcel carriers and air freight companies. So this
had to be in the works.
Of course it had. It's been in the we knew this.
They had their own trucks. They got their own semis. They got their own freight trains.
Yeah.
You got the little guys driving around. And the cars. Unbelievable.
The drones, unmanned, but yet driving little things around the street. This is something that we knew about a few years ago, and this was a concern when it first was announced that they were working on this as part of their strategy in general. And at the time, I remember very distinctly saying, well, this is going to be a death blow at FedEx. And then if you remember, they shut down the relationships with certain things and they brought it back in the U.S. Postal Service and they brought it back. Remember that whole thing back and forth with FedEx? So this move is not just a threat to other couriers on e-commerce, but potentially more profitable areas to areas... like with healthcare as an example, you know, where you're schlepping drugs and various things. Amazon will offer freight distribution and fulfillment and parcel shipping and to standalone customers. And it announced this could be a watershed, quote, this could be a watershed moment for North American freight transportation companies.
Yeah, let Amazon do the shipping for you.
Yep. FedEx fell 9%. Worst day in more than a year. Rival UPS dropped more than 10%. Logistics firms like Forward Air Corp, GXO Logistics, all got double-digit declines. Old Dominion Freight was down, I think, about 7. So were other truckers as well. So here's the thing. I don't know if you really know. I didn't know. You probably know because you're smart and you know everything. But last year, okay. Let me ask the question. Don't look. Let me ask the question. Do you know how many packages in a year's time are delivered or shipped in the United States in a year?
I do not know the number, but it has to be probably in the billions.
I'm rounding this. 24 billion.
That's a lot.
24 billion packages. And by the way, my house is a billion. Just in my house.
Oh, yeah. But then going back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
You send everything back.
Right. A lot of stuff is doubled up here. That's a good point. We probably only have about 15 billion packages that actually get to the destination. The other stuff is returned, sent back and forth.
Your returns are in, honey. Yeah,
exactly. So 25%. Of those packages were delivered by Amazon last year. Between FedEx and UPS, they delivered a third, which means if you equalize the FedEx and UPS, that means individually each delivered less than Amazon. So Amazon already is a behemoth of the delivery space.
What's the post office in this picture here? They got to have a good number.
Well, if you got 25% for Amazon and a third, 55%, probably the rest, probably another 40% is UPS.
No, yeah, USPS.
USPS, yeah. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Taking over one package at a time.
Well, when they started doing their own deliveries, you know, it had to have an impact.
What a smart company, don't you? Seriously, if you think about the beginnings of Amazon, if you think about the beginnings of Amazon,
Yeah, who knew?
and they were books, and they were, you know, selling books, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. Same thing as Netflix, right? Netflix would you get the DVDs back and forth, but how they this is a classic, more than classic. This is a the lifelong a lifetime lesson that you need to learn as an investor, that these kinds of companies, when they morph, change, adapt, build, grow, buy, great things can happen. My son is a yacht broker.
Still going.
Yeah, my son is a yacht broker, and he has all these really interesting things going on. He's built these apps that are just state of the art for all of his people that work for him with regard to all the yacht sales. Clicking a button will send a whole thing about the boat, you know, quotes, information, specs, setup times. Fascinating app. It's like the Salesforce for yachting he built, for yacht sales. So, you know, there's been so many times that a question would come and my wife would say to him, "Oh no, you shouldn't do this or this or that or whatever." And he would say in response, "Do you think Jeff Bezos's mother told him no?"
Wow. What a great line.
Yeah. So it's like it stops you right in your tracks. You stop as a parent, it stops you right in your tracks. Because how many times has Jeff Bezos' mother said, "You're not selling those paperbacks through, really? You're doing what?"
Yeah, that's true.
So Elon Musk is off the hook. He agreed to pay $1.5 million to settle Securities and Exchange Commission allegations that he cheated Twitter shareholders by failing to properly disclose his growing stake in the social media company. If you remember, what happened was that when he took the thing private, basically there was a discussion of lack of transparency of what he was doing behind the scenes and how this would benefit him. And then a lot of the investors didn't know about it and, you know, all this, which, by the way, is my thesis that I'm contending once again and continuing on with Tesla. Why Tesla shares are coming in, they'll be privatized eventually at a low price comparatively of where they were into and roll into the combination of the XAI and
SpaceX.
space. Yep, that whole thing will be all rolled in. That's my theory. But his revocable trust is going to pay the penalty. Said the deal is the largest penalty the agency has levied against an entity or individual for allegedly failing to file a beneficial ownership form on time. But Musk's attorney called it a small fine.
It is for him.
To them, it was a fine fine. It's fine. It's fine. Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm gonna get my checkbook out.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's what Musk is thinking.
Yeah. So
Oh,
let's talk.
wait, let me look at my wallet.
Ah, yeah. Anyway, oh, in the corner. There you go. Take this. Got the cash. You want cash? You want cash or you want what do you want? This could be something. Sonos shares climbed after reporting revenue that jumped 8% and said in its filing that it's going to get, and at least believes it's going to get, about $40 million worth of tax tariff refunds. 40 million. The
What
company
does Sonos do?
Sonos makes the audio speaker systems that are wireless
Oh,
around your house
those
at all.
guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we have a bunch of Sonos units with my I don't have one. My friends have it, some place I know it's always
I know everyone's got them.
and they always don't work right. It's like everybody's
They don't
always
sound that great, but
they're
to, at
always
least to me. To me, they probably sound great to somebody. They don't sound that good to me.
The problem is they don't work all the time. They're glitchy. I have a friend who literally said he did an upgrade or an update of the software. It took him offline for 6 months
Wow.
until they all figured it out.
That's not right.
I understand.
Speakers, the workers, they shouldn't.
Well, it's like my brand new exhaust fan hood over my stove. You click the button for the fan one, fan two, Fan three. Fan four. What's with fan three? What's with the deal? I've gone back. They sent me a new, not a compressor, but they sent me a little electrode piece that I refit. That didn't help. They're asking me all sorts of questions. They're like, oh, maybe your duct is too small. I'm like, how is my duct too small? If on fan one it works fine, fan two it goes higher, fan three it backs off and the fan slows down. What does that have to do with my duct work? Dumbest thing ever. So going back and forth, back and forth. These things are dumb. But the fact is that technical support can't always help. So now Sonos is forecasting adjusted earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, which is EBITDA, between $20 million and $48 million for the current quarter, which seems so light compared to some of the other numbers that we've been looking at, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's a speaker company.
Yeah, $20 to $48 million. But the stock did very well. Why? Well, because I think they're taking into consideration they're going to get a free $40 million back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the U.S. government is paying back, I think it's about $166 billion in revenue that it's going to give back. The revenue collected after all these, you know, global tariffs that were struck down by the Supreme Court in February. When's the last time, by the way, you heard them talking about that? About, we're going to reinstate. Nobody's talking about that. Bessin hasn't been talking about that. Bessin's all busy chattering about this other stuff.
Yep.
You know, what's going on with the oil price? What's going on with the mines in there? Anybody gets involved in anybody else's business. Everybody wants the spotlight. That's the thing. Everybody wants the spotlight. Look at me. So this is kind of interesting. And General Motors, by the way, raised its guidance for the year, significantly beating Wall Street's first quarter earnings expectation, following a roughly $500 million benefit from, do you want to guess?
Tariffs.
U.S. Supreme Court's decision to terminate and refund certain levels and levies, also known as tariffs. $500 million they're getting back. So back to my initial question at the top of the show, is it possible that markets, companies are also running on the idea that there's a lot of money coming back, $166 billion back to corporate earnings?
Since a lot of these companies pass the tariffs on to the customers, are they going to give them, the customers, the money too?
Absolutely.
Not.
They said that, you know, a lot of companies will use the idea that they didn't pass things on. How about this? I got a better one. Because tariffs required them to raise their prices on things to make up for a lot, right?
Yeah.
Will they lower the prices?
Huh. Well, no.
So they don't lower the prices, they don't have the tariffs, and they're getting this money back. Think about that.
Yeah, no wonder earnings are good.
So there you go. Lots going on there. Which, by the way, in my opinion, is a very in-your-face, open, right in front of you, but yet totally obfuscated idea. Right? You know, I think it's there, and it's almost so obvious that it's hard to even see. I didn't see it until just recently. It was just right there, though. You're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And if you think about what was the date that the Supreme Court, let's see, what was date Supreme Court struck down tariffs? Let's see what it says. February 20th. So we did go through that March problem because we went to war. But that being the case, I wonder when actually. I don't know. It was February 20th. So that doesn't really work out.
No.
But okay. Moving along, sir. OPEC, in an unexpected announcement, this also caught me off guard. The UAE, the United Arab Emirates, will exit OPEC on May 1st. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a major blow to the cartel.
Well, they got their own pipeline that goes out, bypasses the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah, somehow they got talked into this. And they also didn't like their production numbers. They can produce a lot more. So they're going to crank it up and hit the market with it.
What's interesting is that OPEC Plus raised their June output quotas by 188 barrels per day. That was the announcement a few days ago.
188,000.
Not a lot. But they're, but the question is, they're raising it into what? They can't produce it and deliver it anyway. It's not going anywhere.
Well, they can deliver about half of it.
Okay, but still, that's 90,000 barrels a day. Not at all making up for the need. So most members can't meet targets due to the Hormuz closure anyway. Meanwhile, in many of these places, if they can actually output it, they don't have a place to put it because some of the stuff is full. The local storage is full.
Yeah. Tanks are full.
Saudi Arabia produces 10 million barrels a day. Biggest in OPEC. Right behind them was the UAE, by the way. I didn't know this. I knew, well, of course, OPEC itself, and when you look at them in totality, they are a much bigger operation, right? They have huge amounts and millions of barrels. But the Saudi Arabia, big producer of oil, 10 million barrels a day. USA produces 13 million.
Yeah, we're good. We got a lot.
That's pretty good, huh? A lot more than I thought. Spirit Airlines out of business. Obviously, the combination of boneheaded government as well as high prices, low cost carrier, high debt, two bankruptcies, Chapter 11 now kaput. Do you ever fly Spirit Airlines?
No, never, not once.
Have you heard things about Spirit Airlines?
Well, yeah, but I've seen the videos, but then I hear from you telling me it's a great airline to fly because you can get cheap upgrades and, you know, it's not bad.
I've had pretty good experience. I mean, when you're paying $70 more to sit up front in the big cushy seats and you get free booze wherever you're going, I'm all in.
That's a reasonable upgrade fee.
$70 is nothing. Now, is it a great reclining, unbelievable? No, but what is it? It's like a comfy lazy boy. You know, it's like a comfy seat.
Yeah, that's what you want, a comfy
seat.
That's
all it is, a comfy seat.
You know, when I flew on, the best comfy seat for the price was always TWA business class on the big 747s that flew across the country. They had these, the seats were just monstrous in business class, and they were at least as comfortable as first class. But my favorite story is when I flew on the Russian airline, Aeroflot.
Aeroflot.
And so they have three classes in the Aeroflot, too. It's not like Icelandic or anything. They actually have classes. They have economy, business, and first.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the three classes, the seats were all identical. The difference was legroom. That's all the difference was. There were still three across. There was no extra room, no extra, you know, not a big padded seat, not comfy, nothing. It's just the leg room is so you went from one to the other. You see, you had like no leg room in the economy. It was your knees were against the guy's, the back of the seat. And then you had like a couple of feet in business. And then first class had, you could really stick your legs way out. That was the difference. That's all it was.
All of it. That's it.
Kind of just, this was their idea of first class leg room.
Right.
That's the end of my story.
It was a good story.
Eh.
I like it. But JetBlue now is going to be looking to gather their flights. Already we're seeing that, for example, Fort Lauderdale was a big hub for Spirit. JetBlue is now, I think they're adding like 8 or something routes.
Not good.
So most ticket holders are getting or will get refunds from Spirit. That's good news.
Yeah.
And there's been some talk about the problem right now and discussion that this is a big issue because it took a low-cost alternative off the market and potentially will be negative for consumers because of less competition. Yeah. Which is exactly, by the way, what the boneheaded schmuckalucks of the Biden administration didn't want by to happen, and that's why they blocked the JetBlue merger. But if you remember, at the time, we were like, this is going to cause that exact situation to occur. We talked about this back then.
Yeah, I remember.
And exactly what they didn't want to happen happened.
Yeah, well, it's Pete Buttigieg.
This is the problem. The problem with leaders that
have no business experience and don't understand the mechanism of capitalism. And
right.
Probably rather see a socialist system, and that's what they're operating under, that delusion.
And you got to wonder why that is. But okay. But the other thing is,
they never worked for a living.
But do they not take any kind of even though they are the leaders of their respective administration or divisions or sectors, don't they take any kind of advice from some others that may be more worldly and
their communist friends?
I guess. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Four communists live in a room, right? You know, what's the outcome going to be? It's going to be a communist thought. So there you go. All right, JC, are you listening? Oh, JC. As a matter of fact, last week when I said that I missed Mimi, remember that?
Yeah.
Within 2 minutes, I got a text. She texted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She texted. Yeah, I know. She told me that.
Hi, Mimi. JC, Duolingo beats quarter one revenue estimates driven by 21% growth in paid subscribers. The CFO, Munson, said investments target long-term user retention. They aim for 100 million daily active users by 2028, but they guided a bit lower and a strategy shift, prioritizing user experience and long-term retention over near-term monetization as they invest in product quality and engagement to build a larger base of paying subscribers. So shares are down about 8%. This looked like a dumb strategy to me. Something's a little off with this.
Yeah.
They're guiding down because they're shifting their strategy from near-term monetization. Who in a business turns down money today?
Nobody in their right mind.
If you're going to build a long-term strategy, you need short-term, mid-term, long-term revenue sources, right? Or something like that? That's simplifying, but...
Yeah.
But you don't ever take down your current... Because your current one, if your long-term or mid-term doesn't work and your current is you bring it down, you're going to have a problema with money in the future.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about chips. Samsung, listen to this. This is something. Seriously, this is something. Samsung Electronics reported an over 8-fold increase in first quarter operating profits on Thursday. Hitting a new record and beating analyst estimates on the explosive growth of its chip business. Listen to this.
That's the memory. You know, they're a memory company. Besides making other stuff, but yeah, this makes nothing but sense.
8-fold increase.
Yeah, well, look at Micron.
You wonder, by the way, why, let's bring this up, shall we?
By the way, when this memory market crashes,
oh, it's going to be ugly.
You have so much cheap memory available. You might as well gobble it up when it comes out.
Samsung hits $1 trillion valuation as the AI rally lifts shares over 10%. So check this out. Let me bring this up. EWY. I think I mentioned this to you. I may have put it on the game. EWY. This is the ETF that tracks the Korean stock exchange. You remember when the war was going on, when oil price went up,
Yep.
Down 10% one day, 12% the next day, 8% the next day, right?
Nuts.
And I said, when this war is over and oil prices get back to normal, this is going to be one of the plays. Two things. War didn't really end, although today it did, and oil is far from back to normal. Somehow, this thing is still the play. Okay? It was up 6% today. That's unbelievable. 2% after the close. Listen to these numbers. This is now the Korean Stock Exchange. 5 days up 12%, 1 month up 41%, 3 month up 44% because it had that dip in there. 1 year, let me back off. Year to date of a stock market up 78%. And just to be clear, when I say year to date, I mean January through May, through the end of April. Up 78%. 1 year, up 200%. That's something.
Yeah, I would say.
All-time high, of course. And last year, it wasn't a slouch either. Last year, the Korean Stock Exchange was up a huge amount. Now, AMD also reported today. AMD, on its conference call, it paired both strong current quarter execution with a very ambitious long-term AI and server CPU outlook. This was a company that had no chips that were related to AI. It was, I thought, for a long time, bullshitting their way in, and they were. And now they have something, but more so, the biggest positives that they had coming out were their base chips for upgraded server and they for the servers and upgrading various components of the the data centers.
Yeah.
So the company now sees the server CPU TAM. The TAM is the total addressable market, a term that somehow I just hate that term, but okay. Growing more than 35% annually to over $120 billion by 2030. We're talking about a four-year stretch of 35% average annual returns of growth of their CPUs, of the CPU revenue.
Seems a bit much at this point in the cycle.
Somehow these chip companies are absolutely on fire.
They're on fire.
They're on fire more than I've ever seen them on fire, by the way. Let's look at AMD for a second. AMD now trading at 355 after hours at 414. Up.
Yeah, this is a crash waiting to happen.
Well, I think the thing that people don't recognize is that you and I have been through several semiconductor booms and busts.
Yeah, at least, maybe three.
And they all kind of smell the same. It's all about
nothing's quite like this one.
But the dip, no.
Well, this one's driven by memory. That's what's weird about it.
But this one, it's similar in that this one's just bigger and more intense. It's some new technology that comes along that requires something, whether it's a phone, whether it's a computer, whether it's something's come along that's going to grow dramatically. The difference here is it's not just people buying it, crazy amounts of it. It's companies throwing enormous amounts of their spend into it because they want to be there, be the one.
Yeah, well.
5 day return on AMD is 9.92%, 3 month, 84%, 1 year, 253%. If you look at their earnings projections, they're going to go from where we are now, somewhere around 50 cents to $1.63 a quarter. Let's see if they have this, if I have what I'm looking for here. Here. Earnings per share, $2.65 this year. Looking to go from $2.55 to about $6. Then go to $11 per share in 2027. So the progression is pretty significant. So,
well, you know, the last one of the last columns I wrote for Market Watch, I told people to put to invest in AMD.
You did.
Yeah,
that was a while ago, and that turned out to be pretty good.
It was $3.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a what is that? There's a 100 bagger.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The only cautious point that AMD made, which is kind of fascinating, is
that it took forever to get to the, you know, to break out of the $3 to $6 range and get floating in.
The only problem they had was some of their PC and gaming demand pressures, like down sequentially, like 25%. And we saw another big deal with Intel. Apple has held exploratory. This is all it takes in this market, by the way, is for a commentary about something, and it just moves the crap out of a stock. I think Intel was up another 14% today. Well, Apple held exploratory discussions with Intel and Samsung about producing main processors for its device in the U.S., a secondary option beyond Taiwan Semiconductor. Primarily, Apple uses Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, for their production of their various chips in their units, in all their products.
Yeah.
So now they're like, hey, maybe we'll talk to – by the way, this is not a USA thing.
You have to have a second source when you're that big.
Well, they need to get there. But this is not like, oh, we're going to buy American. Yeah, Intel is, but Samsung's not. So this isn't necessarily a buy American. The discussion with Intel and Samsung are preliminary and not resulted in any orders, with Apple having concerns about using non-TSMC technology. Apple's considering additional suppliers due to supply chain disruptions, including recent shortages driven by the build-out of AI data centers. Demand for Macs is high also. But again, 100% run of Intel in April. And now up another 14% on speculative news that something that may or may not happen. So there you go.
That's a little itchy.
Yeah. Now, 2 weeks ago, we have something. I'm going to do a quick flashback. Do you remember when OpenAI came out about 2 weeks ago and was like, okay, we're not sure we're going to meet our numbers. In fact, we're concerned about our revenue growth numbers, and we're really concerned about our user growth numbers. And everybody had a conniption. 2 weeks later, no one cares. Let's see what else we have here. AI layoffs. Remember, AI is not. No circumstance do we see that AI is going to cause any kind of disruption in the employment situation. Which you and I have called what?
Bullcrap.
So AI is not going to take your job. Don't worry. Keep on working. Don't look up. Don't look. Don't think. Just keep your head down and work. Don't worry. And do me a favor. Write down how you do things exactly. Yeah.
To the letter, so we can train the AI.
Yeah, pretend we're going to train somebody. Not that we are. No, but just pretend. So there was an announcement today that Coinbase is laying off because of this. The question is, how long until the robots actually take over? That's the question of the day. A lot of recent announcement. Check out this chart we put together. If it loads on my side. Can you see that?
Kind of cute. You put this together yourself?
I did.
With AI.
Of course. I'm not an idiot. I mean, I grabbed all the data. Pretty good, right?
I'll post this on Twitter. It's a good chart.
Thanks. So I think we call this, is this an infographic, finally?
Well, to me, it's not an infographic.
It's a graphical table. How's that?
It's just a nice chart table.
So this is over on, by the way, you can find this on the show notes page for DH Unplugged episode number 801, which comes right after episode 800, which John asked specifically for people to come out and do their best to donate, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I think it's a good time to do it. We could use a few extra, some extra support. We've got changes today. Look at this chart.
Yeah.
This must have cost you a couple of bucks to do.
Plenty of tokens on the tokens. Couple of tokens on the AI. So AI, so yeah, all you do is go over to DH Unplugged and click on the button. If you don't want to give, that's fine. Just don't listen anymore. Simple as that, right? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. So this is showing that Coinbase has laid off about 14% of its workforce, about 700 jobs. And he said that AI native teams will replace functions previously handled by larger teams. So wait, well, that's not AI not taking over, is it? That's absolute AI taking over. Amazon's thrown out about 30,000 people. They said AI automation and flatter org structures. So that's two, by the way. Two in a row of flat organizational structures. One is the one from Coinbase, which says,